the gut punch of hearing those three dreadful words, you have cancer. It's like the floor just dropped out from underneath you and you're in a free fall. Fear, anger, grief, a tidal wave of emotions crashing over you. But it doesn't have to be this way. Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Deming. As an integrative oncologist and former radiation oncologist who has cared for thousands of patients over her career, let me guide you safely through the fog. Join my Six Pillars of Healing Cancer workshop series. Starting May 2nd, I'll unleash the proven holistic roadmap to clarity and deep inner calm. I'll impart the fundamental nutritional, emotional, physical, and spiritual keys to unlocking your own body's healing potential. No more grasping for answers just out of reach. No more of the unknown weighing you down. Registration is open now. Check the link in this episode's description to anchor yourself to this life-changing series. You've got this. Can you imagine having a personal chef and nutritionist guiding you towards healing with every meal? Today, I brought on the folks from Gather Round Nutrition, a network of private chefs in Portland, Oregon. They design and deliver delicious organic meals tailored to support optimal health during challenging times, such as chemotherapy. Chef Johanna Glasser is the co-owner and holds a Master of Science in Nutrition. And Alexa Billy is a registered dietitian specializing in oncology. They offer a unique combination of culinary expertise and nutritional knowledge. They will provide you with valuable insights and practical tips to harness the incredible potential of food to heal and nourish your body. Stick around until the end to learn how you can make lasting changes in your relationship with food and support your journey toward better health. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Born to Heal podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Katie Deming. After two decades of practicing as an oncologist and caring for thousands of patients, I've seen firsthand how our healthcare system places obstacles in your path to true healing. My guests and I will bridge the worlds of Western medicine and alternative healing to help you achieve optimal health. Expect to uncover new insights, share a few laughs, and maybe even shed some tears along the way. But most of all, we'll learn how to heal from within together. So let's dive into today's episode. Today, I am really excited about having Johanna and Alexa from Gather Around Nutrition. Welcome, Johanna and Alexa.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Yeah, so excited.
Maybe we'll start with you, Johanna, telling us a little bit about how did Gather Round come to be and what is it that you are bringing to people through this business?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. So yeah, the journey to Gather Round has been really multifaceted. Like I came to food as medicine, actually trying to support a dear friend of mine who ended up with a severe diagnosis from Crohn's disease and was looking for alternatives for health and wellness and just wasn't really finding really clear, like concise ways of supporting herself with nutrition and natural medicine and herbs. And kind of through like witnessing her journey and figuring out the best way to support her, I ended up at the National University for Natural Medicine in Portland, Oregon, where I met my business partner, Jed. And I think we had both originally that we were going to be doing counseling and support. And we realized actually most people know that they need to eat vegetables. We realized that most people, you know, like know they need to be eating in a different way, but don't have the time or the resources or the energy or the knowledge to even make that like enjoyable and delicious. So we kind of started Gather Around as a personal chef service to really be supporting people with these different therapeutic diets they were getting prescribed, but in a way that felt enjoyable for them and making it really accessible of just like giving people the healthy food. And so we found that the compliancy rate for these diets was so much higher. And we found that people actually enjoyed eating much healthier and it wasn't as daunting to them as just like giving them this list of things they can and can't eat and figuring out how to put them together. So there's a lot of like creativity in what we do. And then Jed and I really both had spent a long time working on organic farms and traveling around and working with natural medicine. So we bring, you know, seasonality and like the farm to table ethos into what we're doing, which we really believe that that's another part of wellness, is that eating with the seasons, moving into harmony with the natural rhythms of the earth, eating foods that are at their peak nutrient density, eating foods that are ripe in different seasons, like also contributes to that. So that's like another piece that we kind of weave in on top of the therapeutic diets. So that's kind of like how we started. And then Chef Alexa actually was our first intern from NUNM. So it's really special that she's with us now. And, you know, she really came to us with this desire to be wanting to work with like chemotherapy and cancer patient population. And we've gotten to like support her in that. And I'll kind of talk more about that, but I'll leave her to share some of that as well. But that's kind of how we ended up where we are today.
I love that. Well, and Alexa, do you want to give us just a brief history of how you came into this, and specifically because you do have that specific interest in oncology and expertise?
Yeah. So I will say, so I became a dietitian in 2016 after doing my undergrad at Ohio State, where I had a really strong clinical background. That's what that program was really designed to teach you to do. But when I took my first job at the cancer clinic, I found myself kind of frustrated and feeling a little bit helpless, because kind of how Joanna said, you know, eliciting any sort of change, especially in your diet, is already a challenge. But then you have these patients undergoing cancer therapies where they're overcoming so many obstacles to begin with. And then there's someone telling you, oh, and I need you to increase this in your diet, or I need you to make these changes. And I saw it just wasn't really feasible for people. And where I was practicing at the time, there wasn't a lot of strong health literacy. People were not very familiar with vegetables or healthy eating. Little background, I grew up in the Midwest, which has a little bit different farming practices even than the Pacific Northwest. So I find myself talking to my patients all the time, like, let me just come home with you. Like, let me cook for you. Like, let me handle that for you, you know, because I just wanted to take something off their plate, because I already knew it was very hard to like receive this type of education when you're under such stress and you're trying to even make sense of this diagnosis and you have all these appointments. And so after a couple years of working in that clinic, I thought to myself, well, why can't I? Like, why can't I just do both for people? You know, I grew up in the kitchen with my mom, who is Italian, and I just really had a love for cooking. And I just wanted to also maybe combine my two loves with nutrition and cooking to produce something that would be really helpful for people going through a very trying time for them. So that's kind of how it came to be. So similar to Joanna, I found NUNM kind of when I was searching for things. I had a great professor in my undergrad that told me you should kind of do a master's a slightly different than maybe your undergrad. So I felt like my undergrad was very heavily clinically based, and NUNM was a really great way for me to gain more of an understanding really about food. And they had excellent cooking classes that really kind of helped build that foundation and combine my two loves in a way that I could really apply and help people.
That's beautiful. And the one thing that I will say as a physician is it's hugely valuable to have people who can translate. Like, I can say, okay, I'd like you to make sure you're getting, like you said, people know they need to eat vegetables, right? So like, I want you to eat, you know, lots of healthy vegetables, but then also making sure that we're lowering your carbohydrates and you're not causing inflammation by eating too many carbohydrates, and the meats that you eat, making sure that, you know, you're sourcing things all. And this is, like you just said, it's overwhelming for them. They know this, right? These are the things that they're supposed to do, but they're already probably not doing them before they got sick. And then now they're dealing with all the other stuff, the uncertainty, the overwhelm, Alexa, that you were describing. And then now on top of that, we're saying you've got to figure all this out in addition. And so having people like yourselves, professionals who are so in tune with this concept of food as medicine. And then Johanna, you're just describing, there's layers of this, like when you're describing the seasonalities. There's so many things that we can be doing with food that most of us, and even myself, I'm not sick. I don't have, you know, a challenge like that. And I find it challenging for myself. And so I know that this service is super valuable. And I've seen it firsthand through one of my clients of going through chemotherapy. And so I want to talk a little bit about people with cancer really have different needs at different phases of their journey. And probably, Johanna, this applies to other people with other types of illness, is that what you need when you're receiving a specific treatment will be different than what you need afterwards. And so, Alexa, maybe we could start with you just describing what are some of the obstacles that people face during chemotherapy and with nutrition from a nutritional standpoint.
So a lot of the obstacles I see, I do think GI distress is a really big one. I think it impacts people very greatly throughout treatment and can make making those choices of what to eat even more challenging because you don't want to worsen symptoms. I feel like really what I'm trying to do overall with the foods that I'm choosing for my patients is symptom mitigation. You know, I think when I'm thinking about planning menus, I'm always considering a patient's quality of life. I'm like, what is going to be the most nutrient dense thing I can do while also applying medical nutrition therapy to help make them feel as best as they can going through something as challenging as chemotherapy or really any cancer therapy. So I do a lot of focusing maybe on using more soluble fiber foods, which might help to slow transit time if you may be having that kind of GI distress. Maybe using a lot of ginger, things that kind of help to settle your stomach if you're having some more nausea. I'm always in considering low appetite because I do think that's pretty common across the board for most patients, whether that be from the cancer itself, maybe symptoms or even anxiety they might be having that can kind of help reduce that. So I'm also thinking of nutrient-dense foods that may be the most, what I call bang for your buck. If you're not eating a lot of bites, I want to make that bite as nutrient-dense as I can to help support you through your treatment. Because as you and I know, malnutrition is very prevalent in this population, whether that be prior to treatment start or it can develop over time. So if I can help make sure people are staying at least to maintain that lean body mass or maintain within that margin of weight loss, which does tend to happen, then I think I've done my job in that way.
That's great. Well, and also one of the things that I think is important for people, especially women with breast cancers, one of the things that a lot of women that I talk to don't know is that it's more common to gain weight on chemotherapy than it is to lose weight. And I think some women are thinking, oh, well, this will be good because I'll be sick. And not that they want to be sick, but they're like, if I'm going to be sick, I'm going to lose weight. That's actually not the case. It's more common to gain weight on chemotherapy than to lose it for breast cancer specifically. And I'm wondering if you can talk about that and how you think about supporting women who are going through chemotherapy for breast cancer specifically around that weight gain piece.
Yeah, that I definitely think that is a challenge because I do see some women think that they're going to lose weight and then are often disappointed when they find themselves gaining weight. So for me, I think what I always like to do is my biggest foundation is just making sure I'm helping create a healthy relationship with food for these women, especially because I do think, and I mean, especially in the breast cancer world, there's a lot of fear around eating and choosing certain foods. So just kind of helping patients find balance and making sure they're getting enough to eat to support their needs, while also including maybe more nutrient-dense foods that might be lower in calories, that are higher in maybe vitamins and minerals to better support them. I think for me, it's just making sure that they have an understanding of what foods are doing for them. I really prefer to focus more on the nutrition aspect rather than maybe the macros per se. And for some people, you know, I like the idea of eating a rainbow, like looking at your plate, like, are you having multiple colors on there? Like, are you getting a good amount of lean protein to support your lean body mass through treatment? Things like that. But I prefer more to focus on creating that healthy relationship with the food than rather to worsen or create any more fear surrounding eating, because I do think that the population in particular that has a lot of fear with food choice.
Hey, conscious healers. Dr. Katie Deming here. I've created an intimate space where we dive deeper into complex healing topics, where you can get personalized product recommendations and more resources to fuel your conscious healing journey. I'm excited to announce that I've launched the Born to Heal Substack newsletter. You'll receive exclusive information that goes beyond the 1 hour a week we have here together. Behind-the-scenes interviews, delicious healing recipes, and on occasion, episodes get a bit too, you know, sciencey. So I'll create a handy FAQ for those episodes. Subscribe for free today at katiedemingmd.substack.com or find the link in the episode description and get ready for a weekly infusion of holistic health wisdom.
Absolutely. Well, I think that people who have cancer often feel this like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. Like food becomes all of a sudden like another weapon that they use against themselves and the truth is that there's so many different people saying different things, right? So some people saying you absolutely have to go vegan and you can't eat any meat. And then other people saying you should be going keto, and it's very confusing. And so then they feel like I'm doing something wrong. And so exactly what you described is this like fear around food and around doing the right thing. And I love that your service can be this way of easing that. And that's actually the way that I see it is like, okay, if you know the general principles and you have someone who can help you implement those, it's one less thing for them to worry about. Right. But I think educating women to say, hey, you know, you're getting steroids with this chemotherapy regimen, the steroids are affecting your blood sugars, which ultimately can affect the way that we store weight on our body. And so, you know, using food to say, okay, we're going to make sure you're getting nutrients. The most important thing is the nutrients, but we're also going to be keeping an eye on this. So I'm not just feeding you tons of high calorie food. So that at the end of this, we're going to have to lose weight or whatever. And also one of the other things that I tell women with breast cancer is talk to your doctor about your dose of steroids, because they're going to start you at a certain dose because they want to make sure you don't have a reaction to the chemotherapy. But once you've gotten through a cycle of chemo, you can ask them to start to lower that steroid dose. And that is one of the things that can help mitigate weight gain, because the steroids definitely contribute to that. And then the other thing that I think is important is, and also I love your background, Alexa, of coming from like a clinical dietitian into this space, is that my experience when I was working in radiation oncology was that oftentimes the dietitians had been taught to focus on weight gain. It's all about that these people are going to lose lots of weight, but the truth is it's varied. And so really looking at that in terms of nutrients and then not at all having it not all be about calories and like pushing, not everyone with cancer needs to eat tons of calories. Some of them do, right? They're going to have weight loss and that kind of thing. But I just think it's really so valuable to have someone who can be by your side guiding you so that you have that one less thing to worry about and that they know that these different, you know, nuances exist within there. So Johanna, maybe you can talk about some of the things that you've seen. Obviously, this whole concept of this business came out of you seeing a need through a friend that was going through a medical condition. What are some of the things that you see from an illness standpoint that people can do to advocate for themselves from a nutrition standpoint, whether they work with you or maybe not, because there are a lot of people. So I'm based in Portland, Oregon, and Alexa and Johanna with Doubt Around Nutrition are based in Portland, Oregon. So if you live here, please check them out. But if they're living elsewhere, you know, what are some things we can give to people in terms of how they think about sourcing their foods to heal, you know, and using food as medicine?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great question. I think kind of on like the, just to like speak a little bit to that weight, to the weight piece and this concept of calories, people are often very calorie focused when they want to come work with us. And one of the things I just kind of let them know is like, our approach is really more, again, trying to create, yeah, like healthy relationships to food. And like you're saying, that's going to look really different for everybody. Some people that's going to actually be eating more. And some people that's going to be eating less or just a different style. They're in a different type of food. So one of the things that we try to support people in is having like regular meal times. I see a lot of women and people in general in like a busy culture skipping breakfast. We love to actually try to like encourage breakfast, start that blood sugar regulation, start that, you know, which is going to also help with hormone balance. Moving kind of like out of this fight or flight mode into the body, into a more safe space where your body's learning to trust itself again and trust that you're going to feed it and be giving it the nutrition that it needs. And so I'll often tell people, when they come to us and they have a goal, it's like weight loss specifically, is that, you know, we're actually not focused on that. We're focused on what you're eating, your and the relationship to it. And we often see weight loss as a side effect of that. But so kind of some general like healthy eating tips and tricks is we love to see regular meal time. We really encourage breakfast. And then every time we're sitting down to a meal or a snack, we want people to be thinking, where's my fat? Where's my fiber? And where's my protein? And that's just a really basic way of like looking at what you're eating and kind of going through a checklist. Like, instead of having an apple, can I have an apple with nut butter? And I'm going to get a little bit of a fiber and I'm going to get a little bit of a protein with it. You know, or if we're looking at like a grain bowl or something where we're having this like whole grain and some protein, a nice side of vegetables, and then a sauce, like where with some olive oil or again, a nut butter sauce, or, you know, kind of like some healthy fats on there, that's going to keep you feeling satiated for much longer. It's going to stop you from reaching from those like really quick, you know, I know when I'm running around all day and I haven't eaten it, when I'm like, oh, I really want to have, you know, a burger, or I'm craving sugar. And it's such as your body is trying to get some quick energy for you right then and there. And that's not the wrong thing to do, you know, because we haven't supported it at that point during the day. So I think like trying to set ourselves up with snacks and with meals that we can just go to, like that's part of why we love the meal prep service, is you're not needing to like make these choices when you are super busy or overwhelmed. So, I think meal prepping even for yourself, you know, if this service isn't accessible to you, is a great way to do that. And, you know, roasting some vegetables, prepping some protein, having, you know, different greens, and then even just having a couple different sauces that you make that you can throw on the same thing throughout the week can really switch things up. So I think that's a great thing. One of the shifts we do also encourage our clients to do is if they're drinking like a lot of soda or drinking a lot of like calories or sugar that way, like I'm just kind of we want to transition people to like drinking a good amount of water throughout the day and getting into that habit of like hydrating ourselves. And if water doesn't feel exciting, throwing some herbs or a little bit of cut fruit or cut cucumber or lemon, different things like that into the water. I have a friend who flavors her morning water with something like that, some herb. And so if she's drinking that water in the afternoon and she's like, oh, it's got mint in it, she knows I haven't drank in my morning water yet, you know, like, so it's kind of these little like tricks, the ways that we can support ourselves. I also really love, again, seasonal eating, because which I know kind of we're really lucky here in Portland, Oregon, where we have produce all year round. So for folks where that's not as accessible, you know, frozen berries, things that are like frozen and preserved in their peak ripeness are another great way in the winter months. Freezing things like kale, different things like that, having your freezer stocked that way, even whole soups that are made with all these things that you're then able to pull out in these like darker winter months. But, you know, there's so much humans have had, like we've had these relation to all these plants for so long. So, you know, when the first spring greens come and we're seeing nettles and we're seeing sprouts and we're seeing, you know, all these shoots, like these are super, super nutrient dense foods that we have access to that are naturally kind of like helping our body wake up from this slower winter time where we're eating more heavy foods, more stewed food, more cooked foods. We're moving a little bit slower. This is going to kind of start like our livers is going to start our digestion. We see bitter greens. Bitter is like a huge thing that's great to incorporate into your diet. And bitters can be in the form of a little tincture. They can be in the form of a spray. We've got like so many options for bitters now, which is great. But it can even just be a little bit of bitter green to kind of like start our digestion going. So as we're kind of coming into spring here, that's one of the things we're focusing on are the bitters.
I love this. And I love the, you said multiple things in here that are really valuable. I think the idea of food, well, identifying, okay, where's my fiber? where's my fat and my protein, and just identifying these pieces that we're wanting to make sure within each meal is really valuable information for people every time they sit down, just to be aware of what they're putting in and the describing the food combination. So one of the things that I do with clients who want to approach cancer from a metabolic approach, and they work with one of my health coaches, is we do continuous glucose monitoring, and we'll see how eating an apple by itself, some people can do it and it's fine, but other people, you eat an apple and their blood sugar goes through the roof. But then if we give them, say, okay, you can eat or a quarter of an apple with some nut butter, and then it's fine. And so there's this, you know, the combinations of the foods that you're eating is really important to blunt those, you know, spikes in the blood sugar, and then also satiating yourself by eating the combination of having the fats and the proteins with whatever foods that you're eating. And then also, you talked about breakfast, and it's interesting because some people on here may have that their doctors, you know, so in my clientele, many of them, we do intermittent fasting, and it'll depend. So some people do better where they, you know, fast once a week and they're eating three meals a day, you know, every day. Other people do better where we're, you know, closing their eating window. And so with the, you know, breakfast and that kind of thing, you're also open. If someone's been given information from their doctor is saying, we want you to do this piece, you're incorporating that into how you're working with them as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the reasons that we do things the way that we do, where we pair, you know, each chef with a client, is one, everybody is so different and we want to support everybody's individual needs. And we really want to be part of a healthcare team, because nutrition and lifestyle is one part of it. And so we actually love when folks are working with practitioners and they come to us and they're like, okay, here's this plan. We come up, here's what works for me, my body, you know, this is what we want to see. And then we're like, how can we kind of like support that? You know, how do we make this as like accessible and easy for you as possible? That's a huge part of what we do, and why we don't just have a meal delivery service that is, you know, farm to table, generic across the board, is because we saw so many people having so many different dietary requirements. And so how to like support them all uniquely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and even within a specific diagnosis, every patient, every person has such unique needs from a nutritional standpoint. And so this is one of the things where people say, what should I eat? And it's like, well, it depends on a lot of things, because what's good for you or what your body likes is going to be different than the person next to you, even if you have the same diagnosis. And so that's, I love that you guys really have this, you know, one-on-one, and you're becoming kind of part of the team, really. Like Alexa, you're part of my team with my client, you know, and we didn't even know each other. And it was so beautiful because she was easily able to implement. And it's such a beautiful thing when we're all working together, because I don't have the nutritional, you know, background or skills, or, you know, what meals she would prepare. So it's really valuable, this service that you're providing. So Alexa, I'm wondering if you can maybe share a tip or two that you have seen can be really valuable for people with cancer. It could be during chemo. It could be not, you know, related to treatment. I'm wondering if, in addition to, you talked about the GI distress being something, but, you know, some tip or trick that you tell people with cancer because you find that they get stuck on this particular issue. And if you can't think of something, that's fine too. But
no, I love that question, actually. I almost want to kind of relate to what Joanna said. I do think I often tell my patients, like, have things ready. And I think that's why our meal service is really helpful, to have those things, because, I mean, I know my patients are often driving to appointments, like they might have chemo and then they've got to go to radiation. So I often tell people, have snacks that are either like prepared in your car or keep them handy to you, so you're not quick to have something that you might not, it might not support you as well as maybe something you had prepared yourself. Like, I think having like trail mixes, or like Joanna says, I really like egg bites that are quick in the morning if you got to get to your appointments. Things that have good protein, maybe good steady carbs and good fat to kind of support you, especially with the blood sugar, kind of like you talked about. So I would probably say my biggest tip for almost all cancer patients is just have food ready that will support you well. And so I think that would be my biggest tip. But I like that question. I'll have to think about it a bit more. But I think just being prepared in that way is the best way to keep yourself going. And carry water with you. Stay hydrated is also very important too.
Absolutely. Well, and I love that you brought up that they're running to appointments, because if someone's having chemotherapy, they're going to the clinic for hours and hours. And I can tell you the food that is there is not going to be what you want to be eating. They're going to give you graham crackers. They might give you saltines. I mean, if you're lucky, they're going to have healthy snacks, but most of the time not. And so actually packing and bringing food when you go to those appointments is really important as well, because you're going to a place that's frankly a food desert, most hospitals and oncology clinics.
Agreed. Yeah, I totally agree. So that would probably be my biggest tip.
And I love that you said hydration. And on the podcast, I'm always talking about water. So it is really important that people carry water with them and that they have clean, also, you know, clean water that they can drink, that they can bring with them. Johanna, I'm wondering if you can talk about what you see as the biggest potential for people in terms of using food. Like, why is it that obviously there was a need here. What is it that you see as like the future of food as medicine? I'm wondering if you've thought about that. Like, you guys are doing this piece and this, but what is it that you'd like to see more of in terms of the way people are using food as medicine?
Wow, that's such a multifaceted question. And I think in general, one of our kind of short-term goals is to empower people to be making, like, understanding why they're eating the way that they're eating, because ultimately, you know, we've like gotten to a point where there's so much dis-ease in the body, and in the Western medical system, we're not seeing things that are coming up until much later down the line that potentially could have been supported much earlier on. Obviously, there's like a lot of complexity within the many factors of that. But I think like nutrition education and people feeling like empowered and understanding like why that healthy eating is so important for their bodies. And we see especially like raising children and coming into teaching healthy relationships and healthy food choices. So, you know, I really would love to see all of our clients feeling so kind of inspired by this, of like noticing how they're feeling different in their bodies and more energized, and people ultimately being able to, yeah, make those choices for themselves and understanding why. I think from a sustainability aspect, local food economy is so important. And as we face so much climate catastrophes and different things, like, we know that small scale agriculture moving forward is one of like the best ways to have food systems that are like accessible and equitable for everybody. So the more that we can invest in our local food systems and build resilient food communities where we are, we're going to make healthy food feel accessible, not just to folks who can afford a personal chef, but we're going to kind of normalize this as this being accessible for everybody. So I think, you know, in the long term, I would like to see I would like to see farmers markets. I would like to see everybody having access to this food, and it not just being seen as kind of this elite stuff, but actually this like innate right that we all have as beings to have clean water and healthy food and access and to feed our families well. Like, it's an empowerment piece for all different types of communities to have access to safe and healthy foods that support wellness long term. You know, and we do see like so much marginalization in the health community, and it can kind of become this very like marketed, and really like when we're eating simple foods that are like grown locally and sustainably, like it can bring that like cost and like access piece out of it, and it can become like affordable and accessible. So I think that's something I would like to see long term, of it, this just being normalized, like healthy, beautiful food that's accessible for everybody. And another piece I really hope for is community building around this, because, you know, we're so busy. Everyone's got so much going on. And I think part of what we love is we're bringing people together around food. And I think that's really healing. I think in general, we're very communal creatures and beings. And like, I know that I cook better when I'm having loved ones around the table with me. I'm going to go that extra mile. And so just this healing aspect of food as like, as a community piece and coming together around like the preparation and the growing and the harvest, like this isn't something that people need to do alone. And so we're trying to offer the support one-on-one, but I think like long-term big goals, I would love to be feeding people together. I would love to have everybody have access to that.
That's beautiful. And I love the disparity piece that you're talking about, because it is really true that it should be a right that we have pesticide-free, nutritious, healthy, raised foods available. But the truth is that it can be challenging and expensive. And I love this idea of normalizing local sourcing so that more people have access to that. I think that it is challenging, and that it shouldn't be that only if you have money and access to, you know, services that you can eat food that is high quality, nutritious, and, you know, free of toxins. But but in the world that we live in right now, it is a challenge for people to find food that is at the highest quality. So I love that. And also the other thing that you said about like education, like really helping people understand the importance of nutrition, is people come to you and also to me when they're sick and they're highly motivated. So then they're willing to, you know, do the things that they need to do. But it's like, how do we use that experience then for them to become educated in the importance of food as medicine? And then they influence their families and their children. And it creates this ripple effect that maybe people come to it when they're sick, but spreading that education so that you don't have to wait until people become sick before they really learn about the importance of the nutrients that they're putting in their body.
And I think part of what we try to do is let people know that healthy eating can be pleasurable. Like it's not this thing you're missing out on, or it's not this thing that is being taken away from you. I think a lot of people come to us with the idea that we're going to make them eat like a raw kale salad. I love a kale salad, don't get me wrong, but like, it's kind of this, like, there's a lot of trepidation. People are kind of like, they're nervous about it. Maybe their concept of healthy food has been like not very enjoyable. And so what we try to do is, you know, like let people know that healthy eating can still be really satiating and enjoyable and taste good. And, you know, we make a black bean brownie that I know sounds crazy, but it's like super high in fiber. It's super low in sugar. It's really delicious. I usually don't tell people there's black beans in it until after they've eaten it, because they would have never guessed it. But, you know, it's like we're kind of showing people like, oh, this can be enjoyable and pleasurable. And I think especially when we're thinking of, you know, oncology population, yeah, there's so much emotion and things are so challenging for people already. Like what we want to do is provide them with something that feels comforting and nutrient dense, and, you know, maybe even like a version of their favorite food, but we're just making these small tweaks. It doesn't need to be these like small, tiny little elevated bites that you're getting at a farm to table restaurant. Like it can look very like, we're kind of going for this, like, we want this to feel like your grandma made this in her kitchen for you. And it's just like nourishing on a deep soul level, as well as nutritionally dense and everything like that. So there can be like love and pleasure and excitement around food. Again, when we've talked about so much fear and anxiety and like maybe people have done stuff wrong, or, you know, that it's just this like thing that they have to do. We want people to be excited.
Yes. Well, and I can speak from sampling the lasagna, like using, I forget what. So Chef Gabriella had made a lasagna that has no noodles in it. It was like maybe it's zucchini or something, but it was delicious. Like it tasted just like a lasagna, but it didn't have all of the pasta in it. And so it was very healthy, but it had that nourishing, like, you know, felt like that homemade, you know, your grandma's lasagna. So I can speak to that aspect of what you guys do, that it's it's beautiful, this ability to take comfort foods and make them healthy, which I think is a gift, truly.
No, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I don't think you can see, but I have Alexa here. Her computer just died.
So I know, of course. Full charge and the battery is like, not today.
I am telling you.
Yeah. No worries. Well, thank you for both of you. Thank you to both of you for being on the show and sharing your wisdom with us. And if people want to find out more about your services, where can they find you, Johanna?
Yeah. So you can give us a visit to our website, and it's just gatheraroundnutrition.com. There's a contact form on the website, and that'll put you directly in contact with me, and we can kind of chat. And I always do like free 20-minute consults with people to talk about our services and help feel out what might be a good fit. So we offer personal chef services. We also offer postpartum care packages for new families that nutrient dense foods that's tailored for like the repair and replenishing of tissues and iron stores and everything. So we offer those as well as retreat and event catering that is all gluten-free, dairy-free, 100% farm to table on that. And we're actually really excited because in the works, we're kind of creating a oncology care package that people can gift to folks when they're going to be undergoing treatment, because we see people be given a lot of gift cards and, you know, things and people, they're not the foods that we want to see people eating to support healing and wellness. And we want to tailor them to the individual. So that's in the works. So stay tuned for our oncology care packages that are kind of modeled around our postpartum care packages. But the short answer is our website, and there's a ton of information on there. And I'd be super happy to talk to anybody, you know, who's interested in learning more how we can kind of support wellness in their life.
I love it. Well, thank you both for being here. And I know my listeners are going to receive a lot of value from this. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here. And I'm just looking forward to so much collaboration and support that we can give to people.
Absolutely. Well, I already love collaborating with you so far. So it's been incredible. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me on Born to Heal. It's been a privilege to share this time with you. And I hope that today's episode has offered you valuable insights on your journey toward optimal health. Please consider subscribing, sharing this podcast with your friends, and leaving us a review. To learn more about how you can work with me, please visit katiedemming.com. You can find additional resources in the episode show notes linked below, and remember to join us next week as we continue to explore more holistic approaches to healing. Until then, this is Dr. Katie Deming reminding you that just like me, you were born to heal.